the blackened morning for the lives that could have been. Each week we lose 100 fine young men. And I wear it for the thousands who have died, believing that the Lord was on their side. I wear it for another 100,000 who have died, believing that we all were on their side.
Hello, welcome to a Six String Hayride podcast, a journey through the world of classic country music with your hosts, Chris Wainscott and Jim O'Malley. We will be covering all of the great topics in country music, from mama to prison, to dancing, to drinking, to guitar picking, to all the crazy deal with the devil, honky-tonking stuff you do on Saturday night, and how you try to get it past your Lord on Sunday morning. So climb aboard the cart, and let's go. Hello, friends and fellow music lovers. Welcome to the Six String Hayride podcast with Chris Wainscott and Jim O'Malley. This podcast celebrates the history of classic country and rockabilly music, and this podcast fights fascism. And
I can see all the people in this whole wide world. That's a union that'll tear the fascists down, down, down. That's a union that'll tear the fascists down.
And here with some news you can use is Chris Wainscott.
While we aim to serve the public at large with the episodes of The Hayride, there are times in history in which it's important for folks to speak up. We feel that right now is one of them.
As a podcast that looks at history and cultural issues through the lens of classic country music, for us here at The Hayride, this is a matter of listen to Johnny Cash and take his advice.
Due to the current presidential administration in the USA, some of history's heroes are being cast aside. One of them has been immortalized in country music and therefore makes for a convenient starting point in this discussion.
Ira Hayes, Ira Hayes. Call him drunken Ira Hayes. He won't answer anymore. Not the whiskey drinking Indian nor the Marine that went to war. Gather round me, people. There's a story I would tell about a brave young Indian you should remember well. From the land of the Pima Indian, a proud and noble band who farmed the Phoenix Valley in Arizona land.
There are many other heroes being callously cast aside by the administration of a man who never served.
Arlington National Cemetery says it's updating its website to comply with President Trump's executive order to remove all mentions of diversity, equity, and inclusion, otherwise known as DEI. Tonight, a prominent historian is raising concerns over the removal of educational materials and pages highlighting African American, Latino, and women veterans. Our Walter Morris has our story.
Arlington embodies an incredibly important history for all Americans.
It's sacred ground with a rich history that leaves many visitors yes. like Angie O'Donnell and her family okay. speechless.
It makes me feel in awe okay. of people that have done this and who have sacrificed, and makes me feel grateful.
And now as thousands of spring breakers make their way to Arlington National Cemetery to pay their respects, some worry The Arlington National Cemetery website has become the latest casualty in an ongoing culture war.
I was tipped off by a fellow teacher.
Boston-based historian Kevin Levin and the military news outlet Task and Purpose were first to report. Prominent pages with specialized educational themes have gone missing after President Trump's executive order banning DEI.
Subjects like the Civil War, women's history, even Hispanic history, Reconstruction, walking tours of Arlington National Cemetery, profile pages of prominent Black Americans, prominent women in American history who are buried at Arlington. And those pages had either been deleted or essentially walled off.
For example, this archived version of the website shows African American history at Arlington, but now that page is no longer there under themes. Levin says those pages have become valuable tools for educators across the country.
Not every teacher can bring their students to a place like Arlington National Cemetery, but you can bring a little bit of it back to your classroom.
In a statement to News 4, a spokesperson saying, "We are actively working to update our educational content in compliance with executive orders issued by the President and Department of Defense Instruction. We want to clarify that no service members have been permanently removed from the notable graves section of our website. The individuals from prior categories, such as African American history, Hispanic American history, and women's history, can be found in other categories, such as prominent military figures or science, technology, and engineering, based on the person's historical contribution to our nation."
Perhaps they will be republished at some point, as they claim they will, but we don't know what those revised lesson plans will look like.
Walter Morris, News 4.
I'm sick and tired of
tonight we're learning that Arlington National Cemetery has begun wiping the histories that highlight Black, Hispanic, and women veterans from its website, taking it off. So we use the website Wayback Machine to show you what the website looked like before the changes. And you can see there were numerous articles highlighting African American history at the National Cemetery, dedications to the men and women who gave their lives, sacrifice for all of us, and the walking tours that took place throughout the cemetery.
Yeah, but now, as you can see right here, yeah, it's gone. The cemetery also changed the wording on its website, removing references about their sacrifice for racial justice.
This land is your land, and this land is my land. California to the New York Island, from the Redwood Forest to the Gulf Stream waters, this land was made for you and me.
Other people being tossed aside and forgotten include Major General Charles Calvin Rogers, a Congressional Medal of Honor winner, Jackie Robinson, B. Arthur, who served proudly in the Marine Corps, the Japanese-American 442nd, made famous in the film Go for Broke. If you've never seen that, watch it. It's a fantastic movie. And the Tuskegee Airmen.
I could see all the people in this whole wide world. That's a union that'll tear the fascists down, down, down. That's a union that'll tear the fascists down.
Chris is absolutely right about there are times in history when it is important to speak up, to celebrate and put to practical use our First Amendment right to freedom of speech. One such time is during the Dust Bowl era with the music of Woody Guthrie. Another such time is in 1964 when Johnny Cash, the man who wears black, as he says, for the poor and beaten down, issues the album Bitter Tears. Johnny Cash's 1964 album, Bitter Tears, contains a ballad of Ira Hayes, the focal point of our reason for having this discussion today.
Down the ditches a thousand years, the waters grew Ira's people's crops, till the white man stole their water rights and the sparkling water stopped. Now Ira's folks were hungry, and their land grew crops of weeds. When war came, Ira volunteered and forgot the white man's creed.
Call him drunken Ira Hayes, he won't answer anymore. Not the whiskey drinking Indian nor the Marine that went to war. There they battled up Iwo Jima Hill, 250 men, but only 27 lived to walk back down again. And when the fight was over and Old Glory raised, among the men who held it high was the Indian Ira Hayes.
Chris is also correct in mentioning that some of these, not mistakes, some of these deliberate attacks on people of color, women, non-white male people who have graciously and bravely served in the American military have been wiped from Department of Defense websites and have been wiped from the Arlington National Cemetery website.
Won't you help to sing these songs of freedom? 'Cause all I ever had, redemption songs, redemption songs.
Johnny Cash is not alone in showing respect, reverence, and preserving the legacy of people who have served in the American military. We have a few personal examples here at the Hayride. My father, James O'Malley, served in the Pacific Theater in World War II on LST Troop Transport Ship 847. His younger brother, Kenny O'Malley, served in the Air Force in Korea. The middle brother, my uncle Lawrence, Larry O'Malley, served in the United States Navy in the late 1940s and early 1950s, knowing that he was a gay man in an environment that would be actively hostile and belligerent towards his lifestyle. Yet he served, knowing the risk. There are countless, many fine American people who have served this country knowing that their personal lives put them at great risk during the time of their service, yet they chose to serve. Any government organization, any government official, any private citizen who chooses to deny the legacy and the very existence of these people is worth calling out for criticism, for their hypocrisy, and for their utter disrespect to the history of the United States.
This land is your land, and this land is my land, from California to the New York Island, from Redwood Forest to the Gulf Stream waters. This land was made for you and me.
One such person who is now making these decisions about military records to wipe from the Arlington National Cemetery website and from the Department of Defense website is our current Defense Secretary, Pete Hegseth. Pete Hegseth has gone to great lengths to criticize people of color and female members of the American military, Air Force, Marines, Navy, Coast Guard, throughout our history, as what he refers to as DEI hires: diversity, equality, and inclusion. One of our founding documents, one of the more respectable and important parts of our history, begins by saying, "We the people." Well, we the people are diverse. There are a lot of us. There are Irish, there are Scottish, there are Polish, German, Japanese, African, Haitian, Mexican, Spanish, Brazilian, Portuguese.
The butcher, the banker, the drummer, and men. No man, no demon. equality. Well, again, our founding principle, we are all created equal.
In 1787, I'm told, our founding fathers did agree to write a list of principles for keeping people free. The USA was just starting out, a whole brand new country, and so our people spelled it out, the things that we should be. And they put those principles down on paper and called it the Constitution. And it's been helping us run our country ever since then. The first part of the Constitution is called the Preamble and tells what those founding fathers set out to do.
We the people, in order to form a more perfect union, establish justice, ensure domestic tranquility, provide for the common defense, promote the general welfare at hand, secure the blessings of liberty.
Inclusion. We the people. That's about as inclusive as you can get without inventing new words for the language. So Secretary Hegseth, in his perceived wisdom, claims that people should be judged by the merits that they hold for the position that they are hired for. Well, let's quickly review Secretary Pete. He has a variety of tattoos on his body with Christian nationalist sayings. He has a documented, by coworkers and by coworker oversight groups, a documented pattern of sexual misconduct and aggression towards women. He opposes women in combat. He has a documented pattern of alcohol abuse on the job. Now, those proven points alone, and Chris and I are using sources that include BBC News, Reuters News, The Economic Times, The New York Times, The Congressional Record, and a military community media service called taskandpurpose.com. Now, for Secretary Pete to claim that merit gets you your job, not your skin color or your sexual preference, I don't see a record of merit here. I see a man who was awarded a job because his friend, Donald, was in a position to give Secretary Pete a job. That seems to be an incredible hypocritical basis to criticize ideas of diversity, equity, and inclusion, and to openly advocate for a system based on merit. Secretary Pete, where is your merit for this job? Your friend and mine, Johnny Cash, is not alone in showing respect for the legacy of those who have served in the United States military over the years. Johnny Cash is one of many musicians that served with great honor and care for the position they were in, and went on to show respect for the service and the legacy of people in the American military service. It is a common phrase, a common way of thinking amongst the military people, to always remember and to never forget. So with that in mind, Johnny Cash himself serves in the United States Air Force from 1950 to 1954 in West Germany. He is a Morse code radio operator in charge of intercepting Russian communication. He is the first Air Force person to catch the wire transmission that Stalin, the Russian leader, had died. He finishes his service as a staff sergeant and the founder of a band named the Landsberg Barbarians. Elvis Presley very famously goes into the army in 1958, shortly after his peak period at Sun Records with the great Scotty Moore. Elvis is attached to the Army's Company A, 2nd Tank Battalion, 37th Armor at Fort Hood, Texas. He then heads to the 1st Medium Tank Battalion, 32nd Armor in Germany. He serves for 2 years. John Fogerty of Creedence Clearwater Revival receives a draft letter from the Army in 1966, goes to the recruiter to sign up as a desk clerk. The recruiter backdates his enlistment to before the date of the letter. He serves for 2 years, goes home from the service, informs CCR, and wears a whole lot of flannel shirts while writing some amazing hit songs. Chicago's own and DePaul University's own Ray Manzarek, keyboard player for the Doors, joins the Army Signal Corps and heads to Okinawa and then Laos. And this is in the 1960s. Old school rapper Ice-T, Tracy Lauren Morrow is his real name, graduates from Crenshaw High School in Los Angeles, signs up for the Army voluntarily in 1979 as a way to further his education and support his family. He serves 4 years in the 25th Infantry Division. Jimi Hendrix is a paratrooper and joins the 101st Airborne Division. He earns his Screaming Eagle patch in 1961, and he served at Fort Campbell, Kentucky. Saxophone legend, the great John Coltrane, in 1945, he joins the Navy in part to avoid the Army draft. The first day of boot camp for him is also the day that the atomic bomb is dropped on Japan. He is stationed in New York. He then serves at the Navy base in Pearl Harbor, Hawaii, and he is granted the opportunity to be a musician for an on-base naval band to provide much-needed rest and relaxation to his fellow sailors. He is discharged with honor in 1946. Tony Bennett, drafted in the Army in 1944, Tony Bennett was serving in the 63rd Infantry Division. He served in France and Germany during the Second World War. He is demoted after officers catch him sticking up for the rights of black servicemen to eat, dine, and relax in the same facilities as their white counterparts. So the Second World War, we're fighting the Nazis and we're saving the world for democracy. And Tony Bennett gets demoted because he's questioning why his black brothers and sisters in the military cannot eat at the same table as the white service people that they're on duty with. Willie Nelson, he joins the Air Force in 1950 at the tender age of 17. He's at Lackland Air Force Base in San Antonio, Texas. He is medically discharged 9 months later because of a bad back. Willie takes to his own unique system of health care and pain management. And at 91 years old, the man is still at it, providing joy and beautiful art to people everywhere. Kris Kristofferson, one of the great songwriters ever, reaches the rank of captain as a helicopter pilot. He completes the Army Ranger program. He serves in Germany with the 8th Infantry. He leaves the service in 1965. He uses these skills to eventually land a helicopter in Johnny Cash's yard to get Johnny's attention regarding Chris's songwriting. So let's not look at the Ballad of Ira Hayes as simply one song on one record from one musician. There's a long history of artists, musicians, your overall creative types, serving in the military, and then going on to show great respect for others who serve. And lastly, I would include Chicago's own John Prine, who served in the military and went on to write one of the most beautiful songs showing compassion and respect for the struggles that veterans go through when they return home in what can only be referred to as a haunting ballad, Sam Stone.
Sam Stone came home to his wife. and family after serving in the conflict overseas. And the time that he served had shattered all his nerves and left a little shrapnel in his knee. But the morphine eased the pain, and the grass grew around his brain and gave him all the confidence he lacked. With a purple heart and a monkey on his back, there's a hole in daddy's arm where all the money goes. Jesus Christ died for nothing, I suppose. Little pitchers have big ears, don't stop to count the years. Sweet songs never last too long on broken radios.
I think it is important for all of us to take notice and to ask of current Defense Secretary Pete, why do you feel it is important to go through the Department of Defense website and to the Arlington National Cemetery website and remove information, names, and legacy for people of color and for female people? The key word here is people. These are all our fellow human beings we're talking about. How is the idea of a we the people created equal democracy compatible with the idea of deliberately changing history to eliminate the service of non-white males? Why is it important? Why does he care to do it? What is he hoping to accomplish? These are the questions that should be on our minds as we consider this issue. And again, as a focal point raised by Johnny Cash in 1964, discussing the legacy of the Pima Indian, Ira Hayes, who was one of the men who raised the flag at Iwo Jima in the Pacific War against the Japanese in World War II.
We've talked about the reason we felt compelled to be here today, and now we'd like to talk specifically about one of the men that is unfortunately enduring this treatment posthumously. And that man is Ira Hayes. He was born on January 12th, 1923, in a town called Sacaton, Arizona. For anyone who's familiar with the area, that's in the Gila River Indian community. That's in Pinal County. If you've ever been to Phoenix, you know, the Mesa, Phoenix, Tempe area, where I lived for the better part of 20 years, you'll know that Pinal County is just southeast of the Phoenix area.
Ira Hayes, Ira Hayes, call him drunken Ira Hayes, he will answer anymore. Not the whiskey drinking Indian nor the Marine that went to war. Gather round me people, there's a story I would tell about a brave young Indian you should remember well. From the land of the Pima Indian, a proud and noble band who farmed the Phoenix Valley in Arizona land.
As mentioned by Johnny Cash, Ira Hayes was a Pima Indian. His father was a World War I veteran, as well as a subsistence cotton farmer, and a Sunday school teacher at the local Presbyterian church. So, you know, this isn't just some, you know, family that's kind of scratching out an existence as dirt farmers. You know, they're proud. They love their country. They love their communities. When he's a child, Ira is thought of as a bit shy. But when the Japanese attacked Pearl Harbor on December 7th, 1941, Hayes did confide in a classmate by the name of Eleanor Pasquale that he was determined to join the Marine Corps. And in 1942, he joined the Civilian Conservation Corps as a carpenter before ultimately enlisting in the Marine Corps Reserve on August 26th of 1942. He volunteered for paratrooper training and became the first Pima to earn his wings. In 1942, he joined the Civilian Conservation Corps as a carpenter before ultimately enlisting in the Marine Corps a little later that year in August. He did volunteer for paratrooper training, and he became the first Pima Indian to earn his wings. Now, at this time, action in the Pacific was raging, and the U.S. was quickly pushing the Japanese back with their island-hopping campaign in the Solomon Islands. That takes us to where Ira gains his fame.
In 1945, six flag raisers were photographed atop Mount Suribachi at the Battle of Iwo Jima. Immortalized among them was a Pima Indian from Arizona named Ira Hamilton Hayes.
On February 23, 1945, around 10:30 a.m. Zulu time, an American flag was raised over Mount Suribachi on the island of Iwo Jima. This flag was later determined to be too small to be easily seen on the far side of the island, so Colonel Chandler Johnson ordered members of Sergeant Michael Strength's 2nd Platoon Rifle Squad to raise a larger replacement flag. One of the members of the squad was Private First Class Ira Hayes. Now, this second flag raising, this is the one where the photo is taken by Joe Rosenthal. It becomes an iconic newspaper image across the nation, across the globe. Eventually, it's selected to be the model for the USMC War Memorial.
There they battled up Iwo Jima Hill, 250 men, but only 27 lived to walk back down again. And when the fight was over and Old Glory raised, among the men who held it high was the Indian Ira Hayes.
They took the highest point on the island. They raised the flag in triumph to show their comrades in arms that they were going to be victorious. This man, we see him all the time, whether we think about it or not, when we see that image. And these assholes are trying to erase it.
The Trump administration's aggressive anti-DEI crackdown has led to the erasure of Defense Department webpages honoring minority service members like Private First Class Ira Hayes, a Pima Indian immortalized in the iconic Iwo Jima flag-raising photo, and the Navajo Code Talkers, whose indigenous languages were key to winning World War II. Defense Secretary Pete Hegseth enforcing Trump's executive order banning immoral DEI efforts, ordered a digital content refresh that also scrubbed profiles of women, LGBTQ plus troops, and heroes like a Seneca officer who helped end the Civil War. The Pentagon claims this unites the force, but critics say it buries authoritative history of diverse contributions, predating DEI programs, leaving only error pages ironically tagged with DEI. With thousands of articles gone, this purge sacrifices legacy.
You know, he does his patriotic duty, and he's thanked by this ridiculous attempt at somehow erasing him from history.
Then Ira started drinking hard. Jail was often his home. They let him raise the flag and lower it like you'd throw a dog a bone. He died drunk early one morning, alone in the land he fought to save. 2 inches of water in a lonely ditch was a grave for Ira Hayes.
This is important to American history. It should be important to everyone. We need heroes regardless of race or creed or color. And no matter how much DUI hire Pete Hegseth, wants to try and erase heroes like Ira Hayes, you're never going to do it.
Call him drunken Ira Hayes, he will answer anymore. Not the whiskey-drinking Indian or the Marine that went to war. Yeah, call him drunken Ira Hayes, but his land is just as dry, and his ghost is lying thirsty in the ditch where Ira died.
Hey, Ride listeners, what seems on the surface to be a political issue, Chris and I feel much more deeply about this. We're looking at this as one, historical accuracy and honesty. Volunteering, serving in the military in any nation that is fighting for democracy is a difficult, dangerous, risky business where a person literally puts their life on the line for the principles that they believe in. And for us, it's democracy, liberty, the pursuit of happiness, the values that this country has stood for reliably for a long, long time. As a podcast that looks at history and cultural issues through the lens of classic country music, for us here at the Hayride, this is a matter of listen to Johnny Cash and take his advice. Listen to John Prine and the other amazingly talented American musicians that have shown respect for the legacy of those who serve.
Well, I got a friend named Whiskey Sam. He was my boonie rat buddy for a year and now. He said, I think my country got a little off track. Took him 25 years to welcome me back. But it's better than not coming back at all. Many a good man I saw fall. And even now, every time I dream, I hear the men and the monkeys in the jungle scream. Drive on. It don't mean nothing. My children love me, but they don't understand. And I got a woman who knows her man. Drive on. It don't mean nothing. It don't mean nothing. Drive on.
Ira Hayes is representative of the many people that have recently been wiped from Arlington National Cemetery records and websites and educational materials, and also for the United States Department of Defense. So please consider looking beyond the superficial idea of politics and look at this, that if in 1964, this was an important issue to Johnny Cash as a writer, as an artist, as an American cultural figure, then it should damn well be important to us now.
It was a slow walk in a sad rain, and nobody tried to be John Wayne. I came home, but Tex did not, and I can't talk about the hit he got. But I got a little limp now when I walk, and I got a little tremolo when I talk. But my letter read from Whiskey Sam, you're a walking, talking miracle from Vietnam. Drive on. It don't mean nothing. My children love me, but they don't understand. And I got a woman who knows her man. Drive on. It don't mean nothing. It don't mean nothing. Drive on.
Doing as Johnny Cash did is not a bad thing. Great artist, a very honest man about the difficulties and frailties of being human on this planet. So if showing respect to these folks is good enough for Johnny, then it's certainly good enough for us here at the Hayride. Thank you, Chris, for letting us know about the life of Ira Hayes and his military service. Friends, Hayride listeners, it is important to note that when Ira Hayes returns from duty in the Pacific, at the time, the medical science and the cultural awareness for something like post-traumatic stress disorder does not exist. There are terms like battle fatigue and shell shock that are used commonly. But what happened to Ira Hayes is substance abuse, alcoholism, trouble holding a job. These are problems that still face American veterans today. Veterans today now have advanced cultural awareness and advanced medical awareness compared to World War II, and certainly, you know, compared to the Vietnam era. But the idea of substance abuse, housing issues, job issues, these are things that veterans still struggle with a lot when they return from military duty and readjust to the civilian world. Anything and everything that we can all do to raise awareness and to reach out a helping hand, at the very least show some compassion and respect to these folks, that is absolutely essential. The issue of criticizing the Trump administration and specifically Defense Secretary Pete Reply All Hegseth is something that's very valid in terms of whitewashing military history and disrespecting non-white people who have served in the American military. As we're finishing working on this episode and going into post-production, we couldn't help but notice the news. And that would be Signalgate. There was an American plan for a military operation in mid to late March. The United States military, President Trump, Defense Secretary Pete Reply All Hegseth, and the National Intelligence Group was working on plans for a military operation in Yemen. Now, we know that members of the Trump administration have a long history of criticizing people like Hillary Clinton and others for what they believe were inappropriate emails, inappropriate delivery, archiving, and overall use of non-official, unsecure methods of electronic communication. Well, it turns out for the last few weeks that the Trump National Security and Intelligence Team, again featuring Defense Secretary Pete Reply All Hegseth, Security Advisor Mike Waltz, Vice President J.D., I have a wife and a beard, Vance, Secretary of State Marco Rubio, and Director of National Intelligence Tulsi Gabbard, have been using a platform called Signal. It is not an official government platform. It is not a wholly secure platform, and it does not conform to American law for storage and archiving of electronic communication.
You know, Jim, the most nonsensical part of all this BS with Signalgate is how they've decided that the most important thing is just to parse words. You know, Hegseth kept saying things like, well, no war plans were texted. Nobody's texting war plans. Yeah, I understand. War plans are much more detailed and they run hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of pages. These were battle plans. They included very specific target info. They included specifics that gave away that we have human intelligence on the ground. And it's now known, there's now a lot more known about that, unfortunately. It gave away enough details that had that gotten to the Houthi, of course, pilots' lives would be in danger.
We feel that this, very much like the issue of whitewashing military history, these are not isolated incidents. These are a pattern of behavior that American people have a responsibility to notice, to consider, and to respond to. This is a democracy. We have a responsibility to remain vigilant and to participate in the system that we create. So now we have a second incident just over the last few weeks where Pete Hegseth and others in the administration have shown a reckless, careless, irresponsible disregard for those in the military, whether it be historical or whether it be in the present, by compromising the plans of a military operation by using inappropriate, non-secure electronic methods that wound up including the editor of The Atlantic, Jeffrey Goldberg. Now, you may have noticed that there are some small technical glitches in this episode. That's very rare here at the Hayride because of our careful and professional production team. Listeners, please excuse the occasional pop and glitch in the recording of this episode and things we could not eliminate in post-production, because during the video conference and recording process, we keep getting little pop-up windows from Pete, from Tulsi, from John Radcliffe, from JD, is it a wife or a beard, Vance.
Hello. Hello. Woo! Anyone home right now? Yeah. Hello. Hello.
There's also been members of a Knights of Columbus group in Fond du Lac, Wisconsin, discussing their plans for next Friday's fish fry. And what we think is a group of students from a high school in Des Moines, Iowa, chatting about who's going to organize the yearbook for this year. So, again, please pardon those technical difficulties, but we do have folks that keep trying to pop in and out of the conference and the chat as Chris and I proceed with normal Hayride business. Pete, just hit the mute button and we'll deal with you when we're done with the episode, okay? Thanks a lot, buddy.
So I'm going to close my thoughts on DUI hire Hegseth by quoting God's own, Illinois' own, combat veteran and Senator Tammy Duckworth. Pete Hegseth is a fucking liar. He should resign in disgrace now. I don't know what else to say that Senator Duckworth couldn't say better.
It's outlaw country.
Hate is always foolish. Love is always wise.
Always try to be nice, but never fail to be kind.
I can see all the people in this whole wide world. That's a union that'll tear the fascists down, down, down. That's a union that'll tear the fascists down.
And we'll never rest again until every Nazi dies.
I'd like to remind you to email us at sixstringhayride@yahoo.com. Six is spelled out. You can also search us on Facebook as Six String Hayride. Or what we'd really appreciate you doing is finding us on Patreon under Six String Hayride as well.
Well, folks, thanks again for joining your hosts, Chris Wainscott and Jim O'Malley, on the Six String Hayride Classic Country Podcast. We are here for all of your classic country, rockabilly, early rock and roll, little gospel, little blues, a lot of excellent country music themed recipes. And basically, we are here to keep your musical circle rocking, bopping, and very much unbroken. So thank you for sticking with us. We will see you down the road real soon. And again, whether it's in your home, in your community, wherever it is you do your thing, keep your circle unbroken. Stay well, stay safe, and we'll see you real soon.
They're not going to catch us. We're on a mission from God.
Oh, can the circle be unbroken by and by, Lord, by and by? There's a bitter home awaiting in the sky, Lord, in the sky.
One of these days, and it won't be long, I'll rejoin them in a song. I'm gonna join the family circle at the throne. No, the circle won't be broken by and by, Lord, by and by.
Remember, the Force will be with you always.